Interview 2. For items 24 to 28, you are going to listen to a radio interview with Simon Rattle, a British conductor. He is currently the music director of the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, the first British conductor to hold the post. As you listen, mark the alternative which best answers each question or completes each statement. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions and the alternatives.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rattle. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mr. Rattle, was it at a concert that you got the idea that you might one day become a conductor yourself, or was it just by accident since you were a pianist?
I seem to remember a performance of Mahler's Second Symphony, conducted by George Hurst. It was in Manchester, I guess. I was very young back then. It was really a turning point. I mean, the performance affected me very deeply. I must have decided then, yes, I want to get my sticky fingers in that. And a couple of years later, I met Mr. Hurst when I went to Bournemouth for a competition. He came up to me after the competition and said, "Simon, that was really very exciting. I can see you have a natural ability that you must use. Would you like to stay and live with us in Bournemouth and work on your talent?" So he took me in and guided me through the first years of being a professional conductor at the age of 19.
That's very interesting. Mr. Rattle, I'd like to turn to your choice of music now. I have been to some of your performances and noticed that, unlike most conductors who prefer 18th or 19th century music, you often include 20th century music in your repertoire. Why is that so?
That's a good question. When I was a kid, I listened to 20th century music most of the time. Bartok, Stravinsky, Maxwell, Davis, Peter, to name a few. So that was the water I swam in. But this is not the reason why I include 20th century work in the repertoire. As a conductor, I think I have to first of all give the audience a range of music. I mean, not only music that they know and love, but music that they have never heard before. Music that will stretch their ears, and music that is gorgeous, but they haven't heard of the composer. You also have to stretch the orchestra so that there is always a challenge for them. I like to try and keep in every concert pieces that nobody knows or pieces that are very rarely played. And my observation is that more recently the audiences have been coming back to listen to more contemporary music, whether they are simple pieces or more complex ones.
So, you do find some pieces more difficult than others. What are the most challenging pieces for you?
Actually, the biggest challenge for a conductor, I have to say, is the enormous masterpieces, like the Eroica Symphony. I've done it many times with my orchestra. I've been doing it solidly for 4 years, but as my wife will tell you, I'm still scared stiff before every encounter with it. It's like climbing Everest. it's a piece that you grow into, a piece that helps you to progress as a conductor. In fact, you can't actually progress if you do the hardest things first. Anybody, a pianist playing Beethoven's sonatas, would be ill-advised to start with the most detailed one. Of course, a good conductor knows this well.
Yes, and what about the role of the conductor? I mean, how essential is a conductor? Couldn't an orchestra get on without you?
Surely they could. I mean, they could certainly play from the start to the finish of many pieces without me, and a number of pieces I imagine they could even do better without me. On the other hand, when you have 100 people, all of whom have different ideas about music and different memories of it, there has to be someone to give them direction. There is a common misbelief that what a conductor does is simply to keep an orchestra together. If you see a conductor vigorously beating time and nothing much else, either he is not a very good conductor, or his orchestra is not a very good one. And more often, it's the conductor, because the orchestra can play together, basically. One could start them and they could continue very well, but conducting is much more a matter of describing what the music is saying. If you are a good conductor, you could make the piece sound completely different from the way others make it. One of the extraordinary things in my life has been seeing different conductors stand up in front of the same orchestra with the same piece and yet make it sound different. And any good conductor will carry his own sound around with him. Now that's something that's completely mysterious.
Mr. Rattle, I see that unlike most other conductors, you conduct without the scores. I mean the written copies of the musical compositions when you're performing.
A lot of the time, yes. I think conducting without the scores actually helps the process. It defines what you're doing. As a conductor, my ideal would be to make the piece sound just as it is written on those two enormous pages. But when conducting, if you're actually turning the pages, then it has a way of dividing the piece up into little sections. I mean, it interferes with the process. I also think I shouldn't hide from the player's eyes in the score. Then I can look straight at them, perhaps to influence them, and perhaps also to judge what's going on in their own minds.
Thank you, Mr. Rattle.
This is the end of section 4. Now turn to page 9.